Welcome to Exaltation. This is Father David Masterson bringing you the beautiful, the good, and the true through the Voice of Hope Radio. The Epistle of James says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights." One of life's greatest gifts is the gift of music. It is a great privilege and joy for me to share the piano music God has given me for you. You've been listening to a piece entitled Desideratum. The word desideratum is a Latin term meaning that which is most necessary and desired. God is the one who is most necessary and desired, so this piece came out of my longing for God, to know and love and worship Him. I was sitting at the piano one evening, and the Lord brought this song, Desideratum, to my mind. I think that too often people think about God as a proposition or fact to be learned, as if faith in God is like intellectual assent. But God isn't a fact, like 2 plus 2 equals 4, or the atomic weight of carbon is 12. God is a person, and believing in God involves the whole person, mind, will, and heart. With a panting heart, an awestruck mind, and a determined will, the man of faith trusts and hopes in the wonderful story of God's redemption of lost humanity. God is a living person to be daily, continuously acknowledged, adored, worshiped, and followed. For centuries, music was seen as the universal language of truth and beauty. In fact, the greatest music ever composed was sacred music for the worship of God. Strings vibrate, and sound waves enter our ears, producing emotions and responses. Why is music so powerful? Because music, rightly conceived and executed, partakes of the harmony of creation and evokes a universal God-given order. Music is a tremendously powerful force for either good or evil. The philosopher Plato said, "Music is a moral law. It gives soul to the universe, wings to the mind, and flight to the imagination." Sacred classical music endures century after century because of its inherent worth and beauty. The Holy Spirit inspired the great composers Bach, Handel, and others to produce sublime, God-centered compositions, which rightly order our souls upwards toward the contemplation and worship of the true and living God. When circumstances are overwhelming, it's easy to say that our resources are too small. Therefore, we cling to what little we have and don't release it to God. Or we tell God He must do everything all by Himself without our participation. The response Jesus desires is that we trust Him and partner with Him. Today we look at John chapter 6, verses 1 to 14, with a message entitled, "When Little is Much." After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him, because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Our text today is John chapter 6, verses 1 to 14, the familiar story of the feeding of the 5,000. Do you remember the adage, "Familiarity breeds contempt"? I want us to try to look at this passage with fresh eyes. This is an age-old passage, but we need to come to it with adoring wonder into the presence of the Holy God and allow Him to speak to us. This story begins at the season of Passover, the solemn Jewish celebration of the miracle of the Exodus from Egypt. Passover celebrates the provision of the blood of an innocent lamb to bring salvation to God's people in the Old Testament. This lamb was sacrificed, eaten with thanksgiving before God, and its blood painted on the doorway of every believing home. When the angel of death came into Egypt, he killed the firstborn of all unbelievers and passed over the homes of doorways protected by the blood of the lamb. The Passover is a type of Christ, a foreshadowing of his coming in the New Testament as God in the flesh, as a sacrifice for sin. Jesus is also the bread of God come down from heaven to spiritually nourish and feed those who believe upon him. Jesus said in John 6:51, "I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh." In the sacrament of communion, we remember the death of Jesus Christ and spiritually feed upon the nourishment of his life given for us. So it is not without significance that this miracle story occurs at the time of Passover. I want us to notice the setting of the story. The crowds had followed Jesus for several days because of the miracles he performed. Jesus got into a boat with his disciples and was rowing away to a remote place because they had not had rest or food for some time. The crowds, however, learned where Jesus was headed and ran alongside the edge of the Sea of Galilee to meet him on the coast. When Jesus saw the crowds of people, he felt compassion and healed them. And as he healed them, he taught them about the kingdom of God. This is vitally important. Beloved, listen. Many people come to Jesus Christ because they want him to fix their physical or emotional problems. Jesus cares about our physical and emotional problems and desires to heal us, but The most important part of our being is the spiritual and unseen dimension of our mysterious selves. What we can't see is far more important than what we can see. Our bodily needs clamor for attention, but our greatest need is spiritual, to be forgiven of our sins and reconciled to God through the cross of Jesus Christ. We were created to share in God's life, to love Him, obey Him, follow His Spirit's leading in our lives, and do His will. So the large crowds followed after Jesus. There were so many people that Jesus sat down on a mountainside to teach and heal them. After many hours, it became late in the afternoon. The disciples came to the master and said, "Master, send the people away so they can go to the nearby villages and towns and buy something to eat." There were no supermarkets to buy a sandwich or some fruit. Thousands of people were in a remote place without any provision. Jesus' reply is startling. "You give them something to eat." The disciples immediately protest. That would take 200 denarii, which is equivalent to about 4,000 U.S. dollars in today's economy. "We don't have that much money." But Jesus pushes them further. He turns to Philip and says, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" Now why, ask Philip? Because Philip was from Bethsaida, a town about 9 miles away from where this miracle occurs. If anyone knew where to find food in the region, it would be Philip. Then notice verse 6 of our passage. "And this Jesus said to Philip to prove him, for he himself already knew what he would do." Now, beloved, don't miss the majestic insight here. Jesus, as Lord, always knows what he will do. Therefore, the circumstances of our lives become a proving of our faith, an opportunity to trust God more deeply. So the crowds needed feeding, but no one had enough money. Jesus says, "You don't have $4,000, but how many loaves do you have? Go and see." So the disciples scurry about and ask people if they have any food. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, speaks up and says, "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they possibly go among so many people?" Do you see the sequence of events so far? There is a huge problem of people needing food. The disciples look at the problem and see no solution except to send the crowds away to find food for themselves. Jesus says, "You feed them." "We can't," the disciples protest. Jesus replies, "If you don't have $4,000, what do you have?" "We have 5 loaves and 2 fish. "Give them to me," says Jesus. Notice the providence of God in bringing a small boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. We don't know anything about this little boy, except that he was the right boy in the right place at the right time. With all the problems and needs in the world, it's very easy for us to despair and think, "What's the use? What can little me do with my insignificant resources?" Never forget, beloved, that God is on His throne, and He is working behind the scenes to accomplish His plan and purpose for you. The lesson Jesus is teaching his disciples is the lesson of Gideon's army in Judges chapter 6 and 7. Do you remember the story? God raises up Gideon to challenge the oppressing enemies of God's people. He issues a call to arms and 32,000 soldiers respond. But then God says to Gideon, "You have too many men for me to deliver the enemy to your army. If you win a victory with 32,000 soldiers, you'll be tempted to boast that your own strength saved you." So through a series of tests, God reduces Gideon's army from 32,000 to only 300 men. Gideon is down to 300 soldiers against an enormous army of more than 150,000 enemies. Just about the same as Jesus' disciples with 5 loaves and 2 fish trying to feed a multitude of 5,000 men plus thousands of women and children. Pretty grim. Or perhaps only now are the disciples prepared to see what God can accomplish with the little they do have. The disciples were looking at life from a merely human and natural perspective. They focused on what they did not have, no food or money to buy food. They temporarily forgot that the Lord of the universe, Jesus himself, the very creator of all things, stood before them. Too often, like the disciples, we focus on what we do not have. An important relationship ends, and we are deeply hurt. Sudden unemployment knocks on our door, and money dries up. A promising child makes a bad life choice and goes astray. All of this is real, tangible, and painful. However, life circumstances always provide the opportunity to deepen our faith, to trust more fully and completely in the goodness and love of God. Whatever problem you face, beloved, God is greater. Your lack of resources is never intended to blind you to the reality of God's unlimited power. Jesus Christ is Lord, and He is with us. As God's children, we are connected to omnipotence, and we must rest in His ability to provide. Jesus asked the question and then waited to see what the 12 disciples would do. He was testing their faith and trust in Him. When they brought the 5 loaves and the 2 fish to Jesus, He had the people sit down, bless the loaves and fish, and multiplied them to feed the thousands in the hungry crowd. They continued eating until everyone was filled and happy. Then Jesus gave the disciples one further task: pick up the broken pieces of bread scattered over the hillside. When they returned to Jesus, there were 12 baskets full of bread pieces. Now we do well to ask, for whom was this miracle really performed? Jesus was concerned about feeding hungry people, but He was more concerned to teach His 12 chosen disciples a spiritual lesson they would never forget. 12 baskets represent 12 disciples. Little is much when we offer it humbly to God and ask Him to multiply it. God waits for us to come and present our lives to Him and offer Him what little we do have. Beloved, God doesn't want us to measure our obligations by our limited resources. He wants us to trust Him to give us the strength and resources to do His will. A wise man once prayed, "Lord, don't give me tasks equal to my strength. Give me strength equal to my tasks." What then can we learn from this wonderful story? 4 principles. Number 1, our resources are woefully inadequate to meet the needs around us. We don't have enough strength or beauty or intelligence or willpower. Number 2, we must bring whatever resources we do have to Jesus to use them for His purposes. Number 3, we must place our time, our talents, and our treasures in God's hands to do what He wishes. We must release control of our needs and problems to Him. And number 4, Jesus promises to multiply and bless what we do release to Him for the accomplishment of His work. Listen, my friends. When circumstances are overwhelming, it's easy to say that our resources are too small. Therefore, we cling to what little we have and don't release that back to God. Or we tell God He must do everything all by Himself without any of our participation. The response Jesus desires is that we trust Him and partner with Him. He stands at the center of our needs, problems, and concerns and says, "Come unto me, love me, look to me, trust in me. Your little becomes much when God is in it." If you belong to Jesus Christ, then your prayer can be, "Lord, I bring my loaves and my fish to you. I release the little that I do have for your kingdom work and ask you to use what I have for your glory." If you do not belong to Jesus Christ, then today is the day of salvation for you. Come into His loving arms and be saved from your sins. Trust in Him, believe in Him, rejoice that He is your Savior and God. Whatever your situation, will you come to Jesus, love Him, and look steadily into His eyes, simply trusting every day, trusting through the stormy way, even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Some of you in my listening audience are hurting today. You face very difficult situations. You may be saying to yourself, "I have very little to give to God and my faith is too small." Beloved, trust in the Omnipotent One. Turn to the Almighty One who will give you what you need as you turn over even the little you do have to Him. Give Him the little faith you have, and He promises to increase it. Give Him what little measure of strength you have, and He will sustain you. May God be with you today. Your brothers and sisters in Christ are praying for you that today and every day you will rest in God's almighty arms. You've been listening to Exaltation with Father David Masterson, bringing the beautiful, the good, and the true on the Voice of Hope radio broadcast. Until next time, receive this encouragement from God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.